Good morning to you. Good to see you here today. We're so glad that you have come to share with us here at First Church. And if you're visiting with us, I want to especially welcome you. My name is Pastor John, and you've picked a great time to join us because we're right in the middle of our series entitled Summer in the Psalms. We've been looking at this for a number of weeks now, and there's several different categories that the Psalms fall into. And we've been picking one of these different categories each week to look at. Today we're talking about Psalms written by or about or to the king. And we've done these others, and we'll continue to go through this list as the weeks go on. You're going to hear from Alex again in a few weeks. Pastor Don's also going to share one of these messages in a few weeks. So it's been a great study to look at this about the king. By the way, matter of fact, when I see this, that it's about the king, it reminded me. Did you hear that we had royalty in church a few weeks ago? Seriously, I'm not kidding. This is true. I'm almost certain it was the Queen of England. I'm not kidding you, okay? I'll just tell you about it. I was in the back. I was back in Next Steps, you know, and I was praying with some folks, talking to some folks, and this lady came over, just this stately-looking older woman. Man, she was just dressed to the T. She was just beautiful, and she had this attendant with her, I thought, and she said to me, she said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I'm Pastor John." And she said, "Seriously, you're the pastor?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor. Are you here for church?" She said, "Well, I was just in church." I said, "Yeah, I'm the senior pastor here." And I'm pretty sure that it was the Queen of England, because as she walked away, I heard her say to somebody, if that guy's the pastor, I'm the Queen of England. I was just taken back by that. I just thought that was so cool. And I wasn't going to throw that out there. You know, I'm not one to drop names, but I thought that you guys needed to hear that we had royalty. Oh, that might be the dumbest joke I've ever attempted here. You know, I'm not sure I'll even use it third service, but I probably will, you know. Here's the thing about kings. Let me just teach you from Psalm 72 this morning. Psalm 72 is a really, really neat psalm. When I read through this psalm, I couldn't help that it was like God the king encouraging David the king to tell the future King Solomon how to be a king. And he did that by teaching him about the king, the Messiah that was to come, and how he would rule justly and with mercy, and how he would encourage all of his subjects to live like kings. The king encouraging the king to write to the future king, to teach him about the king, Messiah, and how we can be kings today. Let me tell you a story. Recently, my family and I went to a baseball game, a curve game. And we were sitting there in our seats, and I really treated my family. I sprung for the Sheetz card that you could use to get the $1 seats. Man, it was awesome. Nothing but the best for my crew. And as we were sitting there in the stands watching the game, I looked to the row behind me, and down at the end of that row, there was a pastor. And I recognized him. I knew him from 21, 22, 23 years ago here locally, and I knew that he had retired, and I thought that he had left the area after retirement. So seeing him, I said to Arlene, "I'm going to go up and going to speak to him." So I went up, I walked around, and I walked down to his seat, and he was seated at the end of the row, and I sat down on the concrete step beside him. And he looked at me, and I said, "Hey, Bill, how are you doing?" And I could tell that for a minute he was like, you know, "Who are you?" And then he was like, "Oh, Pastor John, how are you?" And I said, "Man, I'm fine. I haven't seen you in 10, 12, 15 years." And you know, I thought that you had left the area. And he said, no, we're still here. I said, that's awesome. I said, how is everybody? He said, we're okay. And I said, wow, you retired. You're not in the ministry now. And he said, oh, best thing I ever did. And then he started to tell me for 10 minutes how he missed nothing about the ministry. And I couldn't help but think, why'd I come over here? Sometimes when I read the Bible, stories like that make better sense. You know, why we are where we are, why we do what we do, what energy we use to do what we do, and the heart with which we use to serve. Let me remind you, even before we get to the Psalm 72 passage, that in Acts chapter 13, it says, but David removed Saul and replaced him with, or God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I submit to you this morning that David was a king after God's own heart because of that last phrase, that he was willing to do everything that God wanted him to do. And let me add to that, and I think it's implied here, that he was willing to do everything that God wanted him to do and do it with the heart of God. Because David's heart was different from any other king. Now think about this for a moment, because you had David, and he was going to be after him was going to come his son Solomon. Have you ever wondered about who followed Solomon? I went through and I made a list. You had King Rehoboam, you had Nadab, you had Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Tibni, Omri, and Ahab. Let's repeat those back to me. Go. The interesting thing was, after David and Solomon, every king that I read to you was bad. And then when it got to Ahab, he was the worst of the worst. I mean, have you ever wondered why the people that followed David, why they didn't continue with his heart? Why they didn't continue to do everything that God wanted them to do with the heart of God? Matter of fact, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3 says that he committed the same sins as his father before him, and he was not faithful to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. That many people after David did not follow in his footsteps, having the heart of God. Bill, the preacher, right? I'm sitting on the concrete step in the stadium at the Curve game. And one thing I asked him, I said, Bill, you know, who's preaching at? And because I knew the church that he served here quite well. And I said, who's there now? His words still pierce in my mind as I ask him that. And I, you know, who's serving at the church that you gave your heart to for so many years? And he said, I don't care. I said, well, Bill, what do you mean you don't care? He said, I'm not there anymore. You see, folks, God wants us to live different than that. And if we're going to be a king after God's own heart, we can't be any ordinary king. Think about it. An ordinary king, what does he think about? He thinks about ruling. He thinks about his subjects. He thinks about people bowing down to him. He thinks about snapping his finger and getting anything that he wants. He thinks about the best food, the best clothes. He thinks about if he has an enemy, all he has to do is desire for his enemy to be vanquished or banished, and it happens. But you see this verse here from Kings, he tells us that we are not to be just any ordinary king, but that we are to continue the lineage of love and mercy and forgiveness that comes from our Father above. Psalm 72 verses 1 says, "Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son." You see, this was David's prayer, not only for himself, but for his son. And here's the thing about it. Like no ordinary king, because God calls us here to live as kings, but to always think about other people. Do you notice? And if you read Psalm 72 closely, you'll see this mentioned several times of loving the poor, taking care of the poor, feeding the poor, thinking about those that are less fortunate. You know, serving and ruling with mercy and justice and forgiveness and redemption. Not ordinary things that you think about when it comes to a king. So he says, don't be just any ordinary king. But you see, here's the choice that we have. We can desire to live like a king, right? Live like a king. Matter of fact, I read the other day that it said that over 90% of people in America have dreamed about winning one of these giant lotteries. I mean, I'll raise my hand. I've thought about that. You know, I've got this island down in the Caribbean that's all mine. I think you have to buy a ticket to win, don't you? But anyway, you know. Right? Wouldn't you want to live like a king? Wouldn't you want people to look at you like a king? Feed you like a king? You know, have you ever heard the expression, you know, eat like a king? You know, when you're talking about, you know, some delicious, scrumptious meal that someone has provided for you or that you've purchased out in a restaurant or somewhere. Everybody wants to live like a king. But here God says that we shouldn't live like a king. We should live for the king. Matter of fact, if you read this passage closely, and I have it here in front of me in Psalm 72, we read about how it says that we are to live, let the poor always be treated fairly. Who's that remind you of? It reminds me of Jesus. It says, "May the king's rule be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut dry grass." Who's that remind you of? That reminds me of Jesus. Talks about the kings of Sheba and Seba bringing him gifts and all the kings bowing down before him and all nations will serve him. Who does that make you think of? Makes me think of Jesus. Verse 14 says that he will redeem them from oppression and violence. Redemption. Who's that remind you of? It reminds me of Jesus. Verse 17, may the king's name endure forever. Reminds me of Jesus. May all the nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. That's Jesus. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. You see, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, seems to be referenced to over and over and over again in this passage. And I submit to you that that's exactly who and how we need to live. The heart of a king. It says that David had a heart after God. You know, as I spoke to my friend, by the way, my preacher friend Bill, he told me that he had left his denomination and that he was attending another church here locally, but he said that he and his wife had started looking around for somewhere else to go. And so I said to him, I said, "You know, Bill, you are always welcome to come at the First Church. I said, we'd love to have you. I said, you can come at 8:30. We have three services on Sunday, 8:30, 9:45, 11:15. And I said, Bill, because I knew he was kind of from a traditional denomination, I said, you can come to the 8:30 service if you like to sing, you know, hymns and things, or you can come at 9:45 and 11:15 if you like worship with a full band and, you know, a little louder. And then he asked me a question that was really interesting. He said, John, do you have screens in your church? And I said, yeah, we have two awesome screens. And I was bragging. I said, they're high def. You know what he said to me? He said, if you have a screen in your church, if I ever came in, I would just turn around and go back out. He said, I don't like screens. Why is it that today we get so off base with thinking about things that God never really thinks about? I mean, let me give you an example. Think about it. Somebody in this room this morning probably thought, boy, that music is loud. Do you think God ever thinks that? You know, somebody this morning when they were playing the organ for our first service and we were singing the traditional hymns, somebody probably said, oh my goodness, she missed a note there. You think God ever thinks that? You know, somebody's coming here this morning and maybe you're visiting and you say, well, look at that pastor. He's not dressed up very much. Do you think God ever thinks that? There's so many things that we think about here that God never thinks about. I wanted to tell my friend, Preacher Bill, I wanted to say, listen, God looks at the heart. And it doesn't matter if you've got a hymnal in front of you with the words on it or if the words are up on a screen by these projectors. You know, if your heart is not right, if you're not worshiping God, then that's your fault. There's so many things that we think about that God never thinks about. You know why? Because we don't give enough thought to living for the king rather than living like a king. You see, when it says that David was a man after God's own heart, I did a little study here and I came up with a whole bunch of things from other Psalms that refer to David's heart. For example, David was humble. Psalm 62, verse 9 says, common men are but a breath, and powerful are but a lie. And if weighed on a balance, they both are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. You see, David understood that even though he was king, that he needed to be humble. David was reverent. He said in Psalm 18, I called the Lord who is worthy of praise. I am saved from my enemies. And he was so reverent to who God was and what God was doing for him. David was so respectful. That's why he had a heart like God. He said in Psalm 31, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. David trusted God. That's what made him like his heart like God's. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27. The Lord is my stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David was like God. He was loving. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18. David was devoted. Psalm 4. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. He recognized God for who he was. Psalm 9, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. David's heart was like God because he was faithful. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where's that from? Psalm 23, of course. He was obedient. Psalm 119, give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. And finally, David had a heart like God's because he was repentant. Psalm 25, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, because it is great. You see, folks, David's life is a roadmap for what it really means to live for the king and to be a king. And the point of it is, folks, is do we live like this? Or are we just simply interested in being treated like a king? You see, my preacher friend, he said to me, he said, Pastor John, he said, boy, retirement's great. He said, there's nothing about ministry that I miss. And I said, nothing? He said, I don't miss the people. I don't miss the heartache. I don't miss the meetings. He said, there's nothing that I miss. I said, you don't miss preaching the word? He said, I don't miss it. And you know, and I instantly felt bad for him because I would miss all those things. And I think, listen, folks, you need to know here that at First Church, you know what? You think about, you know, like lots of times preachers, you know, they complain about boards and board meetings. You know, you heard about the church bus, right? That was the church board edition. Did you hear about that? Yeah, it had three steering wheels and 16 sets of brakes. Oh, that was worse than the Queen joke. I'm sorry. I want you to know I love our board meetings here. You know why? Because they're united. They're prayerful. They're respectful. I mean, we're a team. We work together. We love each other, and we serve God. It's not about anybody's one agenda, because that's what it means to live for the King. That's what it means to serve Him. And that's what David meant when it says about him that he had a heart like God's. He was no ordinary king. And even though he had the power and the means to live like a king, he lived for the King. And you know what, folks? That's how you and I should live. You know, the Bible talks about us when we go out into the world that we are ambassadors. I went back to my seat at the ball game, and Arlene said, well, how's he doing? And I said, you don't want to know. She said, did you invite him to church? And I said, yeah, but I wished I hadn't. But I want you to know something. Before I left, my friend Bill, my pastor friend Bill, I said something to him because I just felt a sense in my heart and in my spirit that God wanted me to say something to him that would be both truth and encouraging. You know, there's been times in my life where people have spoken truth to me and encouraged me and kind of got me to see something that I needed to see. And I wanted to do that with my friend Bill. I'd known him for a long time. And it just broke my heart that he was at this point in his life and he felt like he did about the church. And before I left and go back to my seat, I said to him, I said, Bill, I said, you know, wherever you go to church Sunday, and that's today, right now, wherever you go to church Sunday, wherever I'm at church this Sunday, and I'll be at First Church, and you're welcome to come there. I said, I hope that God looks down and he sees in you and he sees in me a heart of worship and a heart of love and a heart of service. Because that's the kind of king that David was that made God say, he has my heart. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to examine your heart. And I want you to know that what I said to my friend was that, listen, I said, Bill, I said, not every church is like that. I said, First Church is full of loving and good and gracious and kind people. But see, here's the warning, folks. All those kings that I read to you after David and after Solomon were bad, 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 and worse. And any of us could slip into that place if we stop thinking about what it means to live like a king. before the King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I know I've used a real person, Lord, as an example here this morning. And God, as we pray about our own lives right now, I just pray for my brother Bill. And Lord, you know that you know his heart and you know my heart. You know our heart, Lord, the hearts of your people. And I pray, Lord, that we would hear these words written by a king for his son who was going to be king, but yet who had such insight about King Jesus and the Messiah. And knowing, Lord, that we would be part of that wonderful family, that royal family, and that we would be called to live as kings and priests as well. So, Father, may we have the heart of David that impressed you so much. And may that heart, Lord, spur us on to the ministry of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption. Caring, Lord, for those that are less fortunate, standing up for the oppressed, and offering redemption to every lost soul. And may we do it all, Lord, not because we are a king, but because we love and serve the King. In his name we pray. Amen.